To succeed, just let go. This is Willie Horton, exploring how we must and can take control of our state of mind and transform our lives. You're very welcome.
No doubt by the time you're listening to this, you will be settling into a different rhythm over the Christmas holidays or over the end of year holidays, whatever way you want to characterize this time of year. And at this time of year, in the past, I've often recommended a variety of reading material for people who want to explore what we explore here in a little more detail, on the basis that the more we delve into this material, the more we explore what is said and written about how the world really works, the more deeply we become immersed in the whole process of moving forward on what is the adventure of a lifetime, an adventure of self-discovery, of awareness, and of understanding how the world really works and how it works for us in our favour effortlessly and brings us all that is best for us effortlessly. When we let it, when we get out of our own way, when we stop thinking automatically, when we start allowing ourselves be. I'll mention some of those books here and now. I know this is the 24th of December and it's probably a little late to get your hands on hard copy, but we live in a world where digital stuff can land in your lap the minute you order it. I've talked before about books such as The Miracle of Mindfulness by Thich Nhat Hanh. I've recommended a little book called The Game of Life and How to Play It by a lady called Florence Scovel Shinn. There is a caveat that comes with that one because it was written in, I think, 1907, and obviously written in the style of the time and with a particularly religious slant as well, which may not be to everybody's taste. And yet, written 120 years ago, it is as relevant and as pointed today as it was when it was written. And it shows great foresight on the basis that science, and in particular the modern science of quantum physics, has proven again and again and again that what was written so long ago by somebody who was obviously tuned into universal flow is actually the case and has been scientifically validated. Indeed, any of the books that I recommend in relation to meditation, everything that has been said in relation to meditation going back over 2,500 years continues to be validated by neuroscience in a way that people meditating maybe 2,500 or even 12,500 years ago would never have considered possible, for the simple reason that people sitting down to meditate in the age before thinking adulterated our experience of everyday life, something I've referred to before. In that age, maybe before 7,000 years ago, when we started organizing ourselves with organized agriculture and organized tribalism and statehood, the roots of all evil were planted 7,000 years ago. Before that, people were meditating and they were just doing what they needed to do in the right way at the right time without thinking about it, because thinking, as I said a minute ago, hadn't adulterated our experience of everyday life. They couldn't have imagined that there is this amazing piece of equipment between our ears that, when we meditate, restructures itself in ways that even science 25 years ago couldn't have imagined. Because as we've said before, when we meditate, we first of all take control, perhaps for the first time in our lives, of the so-called attentional spotlight in the left prefrontal cortex of the brain. Our ability to focus. In other words, our ability to shine our light on just what is going on in the here and now, so that we know what is going on in the here and now, unadulterated by thought, and that on the basis that we know what's going on, we know what to do, and we know how to do it, and we don't have to think about it or second guess it or try to figure it out. Thinking, second guessing, figuring it out, they're all activities of the thinking mind. And as we've said on a number of occasions before, we are at our best when we are not thinking. We were certainly at our best 7,000, 10,000 years ago when we were just being. Even when confronted by a man or woman eating beasts 7 or 8 thousand years ago, we knew exactly what we need to do. We didn't stop to think about it. Indeed, we didn't have time to think about it. Had we stopped to think about it, we'd be dead. And, I don't know, cows or birds would be the preeminent species on the planet. And very often, you know, as an aside, I often look at the birds sitting on some of the trees in the mountains around here and wonder, are they actually looking down on us, saying to themselves, those poor, stupid human beings buried in thought, they haven't a clue how life is supposed to be lived. That's an aside. That's an aside. The key point I want to make in relation to the march of science forward, in particular over the last 25 years, is that stuff that was unimaginable to people who knew how to use their minds properly 10 or 12,000 years ago is actually being proven again and again and again. For example, as I said a minute ago, meditation turns on the attentional spotlight. And if you're meditating for the first time, as I said a minute ago, you actually gain control of your attentional spotlight for the first time in your life. Yes, it was turned on in the first 10, 11 or 12 years of your life, but you didn't have control over it. You were simply soaking up everything that was going on around you like the proverbial sponge. And you couldn't discern whether what was good for you to soak up or bad for you to soak up. Because if you did, you wouldn't have taken any of the negative psychological snapshots that give you your perceived inadequacies when you're using your mind automatically. So when we start meditating for the first time, say at 30 or 40 or 75 years of age, I'll come back to that in a moment. When we start doing that for the first time, we, for the first time in our entire lives, take control of that to which we are fully paying attention, that in which we are totally immersed, that which we fully understand, and that in which we know how to act appropriately, effortlessly, without thinking about it. That's one key aspect of meditation. But that's only one of the key benefits. What has been discovered is that once your attentional spotlight is switched on, that part of your brain conducts the orchestra comprised of the key components of your subcortical brain that enable you to know what's going on and inform you in an intuitive way as to exactly how you should act, exactly what decisions you should make, what choices you should make, exactly what you should say without fear nor favour, and do just what you need to do effortlessly and forget the rest to move forward effortlessly in your life. By forget the rest, I mean that so many people spend so much time doing stuff that they don't need to do at all. People fill their days with being busy, stupid busy, and forget or don't have time to do the important things, or in fact sometimes are so buried in busyness, don't even understand or realize what the important things are that they actually need to do. But even more than that, as a result of the attentional spotlight conducting the orchestra of the components of the subcortical brain, those components start playing harmonious music. They start communicating with each other in a way that does not happen in the normally evolved brain. In other words, when we start meditating, we take a personal evolutionary leap forward. Our brains restructure, reconfigure themselves, and start behaving in a completely novel way. So that the brain evolution designed to focus on threats is now focused on threats and opportunities, to the point where, as a result of being in flow, which I'll come onto in a moment, we actually aren't just noticing opportunities, we are the co-creators of opportunity with the flow of universal energy. For when we meditate, we actually, as a result of unplugging our automated way of thinking, allow our body's own energy flow freely. And what modern science has discovered is that when our body's energy is flowing freely, we create a coherent electromagnetic pulse. The science of bioelectricity tells us that. And that bioelectric pulse and the presence that comes with it makes us attractive. In other words, we become like magnets. We literally draw into our sphere, our little life, all the things that we need to make our little life a great life. Not only that, as a result of our pulsing at a coherent rate, we give off photons of light. And those photons of light carry our intentions out into the flow of universal energy. I know it sounds weird, and it doesn't matter how it sounds to you. It doesn't matter how it might be discounted by your thinking mind. Your thinking mind has a stake in not allowing you change your life. So forget about what you're thinking about what I've just said. This is what science actually tells us. So what does that mean in practice? Well, it confirms some of the stuff that we actually already know. For example, that it's lovely to be in the company of somebody who has presence. We know that. It also confirms that if you look at somebody and you say to them, oh God, you're glowing, they're actually glowing. We know this stuff already. We only glimpse it from time to time. We only experience our intuition through the odd aha moment. But one of the key benefits of meditating is that it turns aha moments into an everyday occurrence. Things occur to us. They fall into our lap. We say to ourselves, why didn't I think of that before? And of course, the answer to that question is your thinking mind would never have thought about it before, now, or in the future. These things occur to us because we are tuned in to the here and now. And as I said a minute ago, even if you start meditating at 75 years of age, because the latest research shows that if you never meditated in your life before the age of 75 and started at 75, not only will your subcortical brain restructure itself in the way in which I described a few minutes ago, but as a result of that restructuring, meditation will actually undo the cognitive decline that comes as a normal part of aging. In other words, we meditate ourselves neurally younger. How did I go off on that tangent? Well, I was talking about books that I recommend. I was talking about The Game of Life and How to Play It and The Miracle of Mindfulness. There are so many books out there that I can recommend. I've recommended to so many people over the years Anthony DeMello's little book, Awareness. And really all we've been talking about for the last few minutes is just that, isn't it? Awareness, awareness, awareness. Here are a couple of other ones that I would suggest, because I mentioned flow. I mentioned flow more than once. And I haven't only mentioned it in the context of the research done by the University of Chicago, which I'm just about to come back to. I have referenced it in the context of the way in which quantum physics and the science of bioelectricity now tells us that our energy flows and how the energy of the universe flows. But if you want to look at the psychological aspects of flow, I would suggest a little book called, of all things, Flow, by the late, great Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. Now, I don't know if I have pronounced his name correctly, and I have no idea how to spell it, but if you Google flow and put in M-I-H, before you even get to the end of spelling his first name, it will come up in your Google search. Obviously, The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, but that's not for the faint-hearted, for the simple reason that Tolle writes as if you already know what he's talking about. Now, that's just my... I was going to say it's my personal opinion, but a number of people with whom I've worked share that particular opinion as well. One more one before I get into what I actually want to talk about in this week's episode. I would recommend, and this is a lovely titled book, Wherever You Go, There You Are. In other words, we're here in the here and now, wherever the here and now happens to be. That book is by a guy called Jon Kabat-Zinn. And I would recommend anything that Kabat-Zinn has written for the simple reason that Jon Kabat-Zinn, in working with the University of Massachusetts Medical School in the 1980s, is responsible for the mindfulness movement in the Western world. He is the guy who, in 1989, released onto a waiting world mindfulness-based stress reduction therapy and the 8-week standard mindfulness program that now has proliferated all over the Western world. As I said right at the beginning of this particular episode, the more we immerse ourselves in this material, the greater our understanding of how the world really works and our vital place in it. Oh, there's one book that I forgot to recommend. It's a book called To Succeed, Just Let Go by me. A simple little book that was written in 2002, 23 years ago. long before a lot of the science that I have just mentioned actually produced the evidence, which now proves what I've just said about how the world really works and your place in it. Because it is important to immerse ourselves in as much of this understanding of how the world works as possible, the online program, I've referred to it on many occasions, the Psychology of Success online program, has, as an integral part of its resources, a scientific knowledge base that is directly related to each of the 72 components of the online program. So if, as an online program owner, you're on, say, I don't know, session 42 or something like that, if you click on the knowledge base button just to the side of that video, you will get into the science related to what is in that session. And the reason I mention that is, you know, I know a lot of you who are listening to this are not online program owners, but a lot of online program owners ask me, where is the research that underpins everything we're learning in the online program? And the answer is, it's in the online program. It's in the knowledge base. Okay, I've recommended a number of books. I could recommend many more books, but I want to digress for a moment. It's Christmas Eve. Tomorrow is Christmas Day. And over the next week or so, many people will be unusually relaxed because so many people are off work at the same time. If I cast my mind back to the late 1970s, one of the things that we did as a family, I'm talking about my father, my mother, myself, and my brother, between Christmas and the New Year back in those days, was gather, fresh off the presses, the holiday brochures for the next year's summer holiday. So it was something we would sit down and browse through maybe in the couple of days before the new year. And I recollect one year there was a heavy snowstorm in Dublin, and the girl who normally gathered those books for us and delivered them to the house, she worked for a travel agent, couldn't make it. And we were stressed. Now, how mad is that? You know, as I've said on many occasions here, when I talk about normal, crazy people, we've all been normal, crazy people at some point, and some of us still are from time to time normal, crazy people. But how mad is that, getting stressed out between Christmas and the New Year because I can't get my hands on a brochure or a number of brochures for a holiday that I won't take for another 6 or 7 months. Anyway, I'm telling this story for a particular reason. Hold that thought. A few years ago, regularly, a good friend and client of mine would regularly email me with his latest reading recommendation. And this went on for months and months. It probably went on for actually a couple of years. But in the meantime, nothing had changed in this guy's life. In fact, he was digging himself a bigger hole in terms of the way in which his normal everyday life was beating him around the place. So eventually I said to him, stop reading the books. Stop buying books. Stop recommending books to me. What you're doing is like what we used to do in the gap between Christmas and the New Year. We'd gather a load of holiday brochures. These books that you're reading are like holiday brochures. And what you're doing is gathering all the brochures and looking at the pictures of the beautiful destinations of the world that you would love to have, and not buying a ticket. You've done nothing about actually moving your life forward. You've just immersed yourself in the material without taking the necessary steps to discover what you're actually reading about, to experience what you're reading about. So whilst I have recommended a number of books to you in this particular episode, I recommend that you read none of those books until you start meditating, because until you start meditating, all of those books will sound just like nice ideas. And even though those books will actually, in some cases, quote some of the modern science that actually supports what the books are saying, they still will not make the necessary change in your life, because the change won't come from a book. The change comes from you. The change comes from within. The change comes from you taking charge of what is going on within, of what is going on in your mind, and how taking charge of what is going on in your mind restructures your brain so your mind behaves in a completely different way, so that you allow your energy flow. And then the books will start making sense to you. And then, you know, you probably won't even need to read the books. You could probably write one yourself on the basis of your experiences of how the world really works. Stop looking at the brochures. Take the trip. The interesting thing, of course, about immersing yourself in this material is if you were to allow the universe put the necessary breadcrumbs of information in your path as you move forward one day at a time, the whole process of moving forward one day at a time will be completely effortless. In other words, if I had read all the stuff that I started reading in the early 1990s in a different order, well, first of all, we wouldn't be talking here today, and that would be because they wouldn't have made the obvious sense to me as I move forward, having started to meditate in 1992. The other thing about immersing yourself, of course, in the material is that the more you know, the more you immerse yourself, the more you'll get out of the information that you are soaking up. And that is why, again, if you're an online program owner, I would recommend that once you get to the end of the online program, you go back to the start. Most online program owners go through the online program again and again and again, because when you go through it the second time, you know so much more than when you went through it the first time, so you'll pick up so much more, and so on and so forth. But again, you could step through the online program, not do the exercises, and in particular, decide that you don't have time to meditate in the morning. And by the way, everybody has time to meditate in the morning. You could also decide that having started to meditate, meditation isn't doing it for you, or you can't meditate. I quote somebody that I recommended to you a few minutes ago, John Kabat-Zinn, who, when it was suggested to him by somebody who said, "I can't meditate," his answer was, "If you can breathe, you can meditate." Meditation comes naturally, but meditation often doesn't come naturally to those who think they know what meditation is, or who have preconceived notions or misgivings about meditation. Because for so many people, the word meditation, the label meditation, is actually a turn off. They think, oh, that's some spiritual exercise associated with, oh, for example, Buddhism. It's not. It's a neurological training exercise. Now, the Buddhists 2,500 years ago didn't know that from a scientific perspective. The people 10,000 years before them didn't know it from a scientific perspective. But we know from a scientific perspective that meditation is the only scientifically validated way that we have of doing all the things for ourselves that I enumerated earlier on, from turning on your attentional spotlight to restructuring your brain to changing your perspective on everything, and most particularly changing your perspective of yourself. Once you change your perspective, once you change your expectations, everything changes. It was Bartlett in 1932 who said we only perceive and achieve what we expect to perceive and achieve. An idea subsequently confirmed again and again and again by behavioral psychology, cognitive psychology, and neuroscience. You only achieve what you expect to achieve. Most people, having taken negative psychological snapshots that formed their warped impression of themselves in their childhood, have very low expectations of themselves. But let's leave that aside and let's look at the logic of what I'm about to say, because it's absolutely and totally logical. If you only achieve what you expect to achieve, it follows, as surely as night follows day, that if you change your expectations, everything changes. Now, you don't actually need to change your expectations. You don't need to change your perceptions. They evolve as the very fabric of your subcortical brain evolves. You emerge from under the cloud of your own self-perceptions. You emerge from the cloud created by your everyday automatic thought. You emerge into a world that is completely different than that that could be imagined by the thinking mind. You emerge into that world. You emerge into this reality. You emerge into an understanding of yourself. The real you emerges through meditation. So the key point I would make in this podcast on Christmas Eve 2025 is that all the books, they don't matter. They're like brochures for trips you never take until you actually put one foot forward on the journey of self-discovery. All the science in the world, regardless of how wonderful it is, how mind-bending it is, how eye-opening it is in relation to how the world really works, how your own energy really flows when you take charge of your state of mind, all that science, that doesn't matter either. It's only one thing that actually matters, and only one thing that will begin the wonderful process of changing your life, and that is you experiencing the difference between ordinary everyday life and the flow of the moment. There's only one way, one guaranteed way, that you can experience that. Yes, I use the word guaranteed. There's only one guaranteed way in which you can experience that, and that is through meditation. A couple of weeks ago, I had a conversation with somebody who has done my advanced meditation retreat. Over the last 3 years, I've done 10 of those with 6 people on each of them. That's 60 people who from time to time variously turn up on morning meditations with me. I was talking to this particular guy and he said, since he did his retreat last June, that he meditates every morning for 30 minutes. He uses the 30-minute meditations that we do regularly on Zoom. There's 170-something of them. And he said to me, I get probably 10 minutes of pure experience in those 30 minutes. And what I said to him in return was, yeah, you know, if you only meditate for 10 minutes in the morning, you're not going to hit that seam of beautiful flow that you get when you meditate beyond the 20-minute mark. Now, in the cut and thrust of our everyday lives, most people will say they don't have 30 minutes to meditate. And the fact of the matter is, if, for example, you have young kids running around the house at 7 o'clock or 6:30 in the morning, you're probably lucky if you can get 10 minutes peace and quiet, or make 10 minutes of peace and quiet. And some people are commuting from god-awful hours in the morning till late night in the evening. Other people are working in Europe for American organizations and start work at 7 in the morning and end work at 10 at night. Time can be at a premium. And therefore, for me to say to you, you should meditate for 30 minutes is going to set you up for failure, because you won't find the 30 minutes, or because you won't make the 30 minutes. But in reality, I suggest to people that they need to meditate every morning from around 7 or 8 to 10 minutes. And most people will actually find the time to do that. But here we are in a period, a downtime between now and the new year. And I would suggest to you that you set time aside between now and the 1st of January to meditate for longer than 20 minutes. And the key thing that you will experience afterwards, when you meditate for 10 minutes, is whatever deeper experience you feel during the longer meditation. Because every time we meditate, we talked about restructuring the brain earlier on, every time we meditate, we build new neural links, we widen our neural pathways more and more. And every time we meditate builds on all the meditation that has gone before. So if I do a 25-minute meditation, and feel something that I never felt during a 10-minute meditation, the next time I do a 10-minute meditation, there is a very strong likelihood that even in those 10 minutes, I will get a spark of what I felt in the longer meditation. Really what I'm saying to you is now that you have the time, don't waste the time by chasing down some of the books that I've recommended. Certainly don't waste the time by doom scrolling. Make available some of the time that you have to sit down, to close your eyes, to stop, to breathe, to feel the breath of air in your nostrils, to appreciate the feeling of breathing, to feel what is going on in the minutest detail around your body. Don't go looking for it. Your body is talking to you anyway. In stopping and breathing and allowing yourself settle, your body's chatter will become immediately available to you. Slow down. Take the time to allow yourself be. Because when we let ourselves be, we have gone beyond thinking. And we are at our best when we're not thinking. Another suggestion I have between now and the new year, you could go out for a walk. To go for a walk. In other words, don't go for a walk to walk the dogs. Don't go for a run to exercise. Don't go for a mad march to get in your 10,000 steps. Go out for a stroll. Go out and see, feel, hear, smell, and taste where you really are. And when your mind wanders, start over again by seeing, feeling, hearing, smelling, and tasting. The damp air. The light in the clouds. The breeze on your face. The crunch of your feet on the ground. The movement of your muscles. The sounds that you hear around you. Go for a stroll to be. The more we allow ourselves to have these experiences, the more we understand through experiencing who we really are, what we really are, energy, and how the world really works.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. Hope you've got a little something to help you transform your life today.